Let us lift up our voices together and praise the Lord, for we have come into this house to worship.
Thank you.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. We welcome you this morning to this place of worship and celebration here at First Baptist. And if you are a visitor with us, we especially extend that warm welcome to you and want to encourage you to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. Today is a special day, not only because we're celebrating and worshiping together, but we also want to acknowledge and recognize someone very special who has wasted a lot of time on us, Baptist. Come all the way from the Methodist Church to be with us and to see us through this time of transition. And it has been a good time. It's been a healthy time. It's been a time of celebration and joy. And we have been on the staff talking about how much we're going to miss you, Susan Abernathy. And we wanted to present to you this gift.
I almost bought one of these for myself.
You have allowed us to blossom, and we want that to be a reminder to you of that fact and how much we appreciate your service here.
Thank you so much. It's been a wonderful time for me. It always is a good time. Yeah. I just don't plan to be back anytime soon. I mean, I'll be out there.
We're going to hold you to the second part, that you'll be out there or up there.
Yeah,
but you will be back.
Just
we thank you. Let's continue to keep our hearts in this spirit of joy and celebration as we worship.
And I indulged myself this morning with my very favorite hymn of 4,000 Tongues to Sing. It's 216 in your hymnal. Just stand again, please. Wait, what did I miss?
Psalm 150.
Oh, I'm going to read. See, you got me all there. Attention, just. Well, it's still going to be my favorite hymn. But in the meantime, we're going to hear the words of David, King David, Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Let us pray this morning. Father God, as we have gathered in this place to celebrate who you are, what you have done, what you are doing right now, and what you are going to do, Father, we place our lives in your hands. Our thoughts, our words, our actions, we give them as a sacrifice to you, knowing that you will use us to build your kingdom here on earth. Father God, as we gather here, we know your Spirit is with us, guiding us and moving through the congregation, and we give you thanks. May we feel you. May we experience you. May we know your true peace. We lift this prayer in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now we are going to sing Susan's favorite hymn, Hymn of Praise, number 216. Please stand and join us in singing of 4,000 Tongues to Sing.
My gracious master.
This morning we want to remind you of something that we do every year. Comes up next Sunday, which is the blessing of the backpacks. It's that time again. I hate to say it for some of you. It's the dreaded day when school starts back again. And blessing of the backpacks is an opportunity to recognize and pray for our students, our teachers, and all those who are working in education in various ways. We want to recognize you, but also pray for you, to offer God's blessing to you. And we encourage you to bring your backpack or briefcase or whatever it is that you take with you to school each day so that we can pray over those. And there will also be a time to for us as a congregation to share in that blessing and word of commitment and a gift for all of those who are teachers and students alike. So I want to make sure you are going to be here next week. And if you have friends, if you have peers, classmates, or colleagues, and you feel like that they would be blessed by the blessing, we want to encourage you to invite them to come as well. At this time, I want to invite all of our children to join me here on the steps for our children's time.
Good morning. Y'all are ready to go back to school. I can tell. Your parents are ready for you to go back to school, I know.
Amen.
I brought this little bag. This is something my friend Jeff Smith, no relation, gave me not too long ago. And it's a way that he helps himself remember the importance of the gospel. Because he's a lot like me. We're both forgetful. We have a short attention span. And so this reminds us of the story of Jesus. You see, it's a bag. In the inside, it's red. On the outside, it's black. Now, every color in this bag reminds us of something important about the gospel. And the first one is black. Why black? Well, Romans tells us that everybody makes mistakes. It says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and are falling short of the glory of God." Everybody's done bad things. Have you done bad things? Ever made a mistake? Said something you wish you didn't say? Well, 1 John 1:5 tells us that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. So that's what the black reminds us of, that if we are not talking to God, spending time to God, praying to God, reading God's word, it's like we're just in the dark. Can you find your way in the dark very easily? You might stumble. You might fall. You might fall into a pit or trip. You can get hurt in the dark, can't you? It's the same way in our lives. And so, the good news of the gospel, that's where the red comes in. What do you think of when you see this red? Somebody said blood. Well, this red reminds us of the blood of Jesus. Why did Jesus die? So that we don't have to be in the dark anymore. We can be in the light. And that's where the white comes in. You knew there was you didn't think there was just two colors in the bag. There's lots of colors. And the white in my bag reminds me that if we believe that, if we believe Jesus loves us and that God loves us and that Jesus died for us, and we decide we want to follow Jesus for the rest of our lives, he washes away all those bad things. It's like they never happened. One verse says it's like we're as white as snow. We're cleansed. And so, when you become a believer in Jesus, what do? You have to grow in your faith. How do you grow in your faith, guys? What are some things you can do to learn more about Jesus? Read the Bible. That's the best way to learn about Jesus, is to read about Jesus. What else can you do? Can you put your hands together? Bow your head and pray. Yeah, pray. You can come to church and be around other Christians. All of those things are like water. And when you pour water on a plant, what's the plant do? It grows. So the green makes me think about flowers, but also a lot of times this year I'm thinking about my grass. Amen? And it definitely is growing. And one day, the best part of it all is that one day we get to go and be with God forever and ever and ever in heaven. The Bible tells us it's like streets of gold up there. I don't know what that means, but I know it's going to be good. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I know it's going to be amazing, and I can't wait to be there. That's the gospel. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever heard any of that before? Because you've been looking at me like, well, duh. I'm pretty sure you've heard all of that before. I hope it was not news to you. I mean, you're both preacher kids, so I kind of think you probably know something about this. Well, guess what? There's a lot of people at your school this year that they never have heard this. They might know little bits and pieces of it, but they don't know about it. And you see all these teenagers right here? They went on a retreat to learn about God and to grow and to have fun, but also knowing that there were people around them that had never heard this or didn't understand it. And so one of the things they did, and they're going to tell us all about it in a minute, is they went to tell other people about this great news. When you go back to school, you have an opportunity to tell your friends and your classmates about how wonderful and golden it is to know Jesus. Let's pray for that right now. Will you bow with me? Dear God, help us all to know the story of your love and to share that story with everyone we know. In Jesus' name, you say amen? Amen.
We give you honor, glory, and praise today, and we thank you for those that are your hands and feet, and we pray for the mission work that our church continues to do. Bless these offerings now. May we further your kingdom. Bless the gift and giver in Christ's name, I pray. Amen.
Shadows.
4 weeks ago, 21 youth and 6 adults embarked on our 2016 summer retreat and mission experience as we traveled to North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I have learned through 15 years of experience on trips, you never know what's going to happen. You can't plan out all the details, even though I like to try. And you never know what these 21 youth are going to bring with them, what they're going to use, and what they're going to bring back. But this morning, I wanted to give them an opportunity to share some of the things that they did, and hopefully some of the memories that they have brought back with us. Before we begin our time of sharing, I do want to give special thanks to our adult chaperones who went with us, Kim Smith, Sally Farnham, Michael and Linnea Allred, Christina Lupo, and myself had the blessing, and I truly believe it's a blessing, to travel with this great group of youth to the beach for a week. And thank you for giving up a week of your time to spend with these wonderful teenagers. We had a lot of fun. We grew closer to God. We grew closer to one another, and we hopefully served in Christ's name while we were down there. Here's a few pictures of what took place while we were gone.
Lonesome but always searching, homesick but nobody's heading home soon. Keep on keeping on keeping on. Long days, too many short nights, always the almost felt right. Love sick but no one you're holding on to. So keep on keeping on.
Those are just a few of pictures of the experiences we have. I am sure our youth have multiple pictures and videos of things that took place on their retreat, some that I knew took place and some that I don't. And I may not want to know what happened, but something that I've learned in youth ministry is these young people grow up quickly. In the blink of an eye, they're entering the youth group as sixth grade and then graduating off to high school as a senior. And in experiences like these that they will remember, they will go back to. They'll remember playing with Wellsnot one morning. They'll remember Ethan dropping his ice cream on the concrete and then Claire eating it. You didn't get a picture of that one. They'll remember experiences like these, and they're building relationships that hopefully will last a lifetime. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 11 through 13, Often called the love chapter in the New Testament. But there are three verses at the end of that passage, I think, that speaks to what youth ministry really is all about. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly. but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. As we went to North Myrtle Beach, our goal was to share the love of Christ to anybody we encountered, to those that were living in the house with us, to those in the neighborhood, to those on the beach, to those on the mission projects, or whatever fun activity that took place. And I can say they successfully did that. And we want to thank the congregation for your support and love and your prayers in allowing this trip to happen. I'm going to give the chance to some of our youth to share about our ministry experiences. First, let me call up our youth that are going to share about our four retreat mission projects that took place while we're at the beach.
So we began our mission work on Monday with the Myrtle Beach Christian Retreat Center. They house youth groups and other large teen groups to come and do community service in the North Myrtle Beach area. They also have fun activities for the youth to do while they're there, such as volleyball, ping pong, basketball, and other things. But they needed our help fixing their landscaping. And so we went and moved some mulch for them. I think some group did weeding. And yeah.
Hi. So today, me and Caitlin are going to talk about the Little Country Food Bank that we worked at on Tuesday and Wednesday.
The Little Country Food Bank has three locations, Charleston, Yamassee, and Myrtle Beach. The Myrtle Beach location has 3.9 million meals are distributed each year. And the Little Country Food Bank serves the 10 coastal counties of South Carolina.
So even though the warehouse was quite large, they only took half of us each day. So like me and Caitlin missed things like how Tristan got in one of the food boxes. But both days we were put to work getting the food ready to be shipped off.
The first step is processing the foods, as in sorting the foods, putting light foods together, and getting rid of expired or damaged foods.
So after the food was sorted, we took like objects together and put them in boxes of either 12, 25, or 40-pound boxes and placed them on a pallet so they could be loaded into a truck and taken off to their main warehouse. And after about 3 hours of doing this, we got to go home and enjoy our free time. So
while one group was at the food bank, the other group went to the beach, and we were going to like set up an area where kids could come and play. So we set up a volleyball net, but then the beach patrol came and made us take it down. So we ended up just walking up and down the beach, giving popsicles to kids and just brightening up their day and just sharing love.
Thursday afternoon, we went to the North Myrtle Beach Park Complex. It consists of 14 sports fields, 3 playgrounds, 3 walking trails, a high and low ropes course, 7 picnic shelters, a 3-acre dog park, a 25-acre lake with water events, and a 10-acre meadow. It is one of the largest sporting complexes in South Carolina, with over 100,000 guests each year from over 40 states and over 20 different countries. During our time there, we pulled weeds and picked up trash around the lake.
So each day, Monday through Thursday, we had mission projects that they just shared. And let me remind you, as it was very hot here, it was very hot at the beach. So we're talking about 100-degree weather where these youth were doing it. And the amazing thing about our mission projects is I never heard a complaint. There wasn't a complaint. It's too hot to work in this warehouse that was not air conditioning. There was never a, why are we pulling this trash up or these weeds up? What's the point? Oftentimes, I think this generation gets accused of being lazy. But go with me on our youth retreat for a week, and you'll quickly change your mind about their work. They worked hard. They went above and beyond. the 2 days we went to the Low Country Food Bank, the gentleman who was kind of overseeing us, there was one on Tuesday and one on Wednesday. After the group left and as I was kind of saying goodbye, he thanked us because basically he said the group did a day's worth of work, an 8-hour day's worth of work in 3 hours. They were able to get things done, and it freed them up to do some things that they needed to do to get the food out quicker. So they were impressed by our work. Now, that was just part of the retreat. That was 4 days and some hours each day for those processing. But we also focused on a specific Bible study that kind of carried us through the week. And it was a lot of fun. You saw a few of those pictures. And now I'm going to let Sophia and Wilson come share about the stories that we covered and maybe some of the funny things that we did to remember it.
Okay, so we talked about some scary, gross, weird Bible study characters, and we also did stuff with them, like skits and then games and then other stuff. And one of them was Lot and his wife in the Pillar of Salt.
So our game with Lot and his wife, we got to brush our teeth with Crisco. It's not very tasty. Don't swallow it either, because Tristan wanted to do that and we said no. It's not very fun. It's kind of gross. I did get a dollar and a toothbrush, though. And that's a good thing. Except for everyone else got a dollar and a toothbrush, so it was really kind of pointless.
Oh, yeah, and Catherine Farnham lost a tooth while doing that game. Another story was Blama's and his talking donkey, and we only did a skit with that, so it was like Wilson being a donkey for Savannah, was it?
Yes.
And then Tristan was being like the angel or someone blocking his way. Then Jael's courage with a tent peg.
This was one of my favorite stories. So the story is there is a leader of an army. They're the bad guys, and the leader flees because they're losing. The leader, she flees into an elderly woman's tent. The elderly woman treats her and then says, like, takes her to bed. So she puts a cover over him, and then the elderly woman, Tristan, he nails a tent peg into her skull. So the elderly woman ends up destroying the entire army by just taking out the leader.
Another one was Elijah's mountain competition with what wood. I don't think if we did anything for that one except for, like, talk about it and then watch, like, videos. And then Jesus walking through walls. We did a skit. And then Jonah and his fishy adventure.
This one was probably grosser than the Crisco. We went down to the garage, and David had 2 buckets of whale snot from his pet whale. It's very gross to, like, play around with. It's like sort of like slime that you buy like at Walmart, except for like times 10, because it's like slimy and gross. We were supposed to find, like, things inside of the snot. It was really gross, and it got, like, all over my shirt. I ended up tossing that shirt because it was so gross.
Another one was fleeing pigs from Jesus.
This one was actually kind of a scary story. It was about a man that was shunned from the city, and he was in a cave because he was possessed by a legion of demons. And Jesus came and he set the demons free from the man and sent the demons into a herd of pigs. And the pigs ended up going down to the lake and drowning themselves because the legion was in the pigs and they didn't like it very much.
And then Jesus surgery, retouching an ear, and we did a skit with that one. And then the last one was Jesus turns mud into the sight healing cure.
This one is, we got to be blind people. We were each paired up with someone that we did not know very well, and we got to put a blindfold on and let the other person guide us around the pool. Not everybody made it. Some people fell in. Yeah. Yes. And then after we had made it through the course, we got to pick a number between 1 and 3, and each one of them was something kind of gross. Number 3, if I remember correctly, was something with peas. Mm. Like, no?
Tomatoes.
Yeah. Tomatoes? Okay. I didn't try that one. I tried number 2. It was a V8 drink, which that was not very good. It was one of the ones that has, like, carrots and tomatoes. It was not good. Number 1 was the sour gummy worms in vinegar, I think. Vegetable. Yeah. So I didn't try that one either.
And that was all of our scary, gross, weird Bible studies.
I've always said it's great to have an object to capture their memories, and so that's what we did. I am more than welcome to come to your Sunday school classrooms at any time and lead you in the same study I did with the youth, scary, gross, weird Bible studies, which includes well, snot, and the like. But it was a lot of fun, and the youth were into it. They are dramatic. They are a very dramatic group. And so when it came to drama times, it had to turn people away from not being a part of the drama. Certain people, like I think Wilson and Tristan, volunteered for every single one of them. So Wilson went from being a donkey to being Jesus to being a disciple and who knows what. Tristan was every angel in the Bible. And so many others. But we acted it out. We talked about it. We did our times of study and our time of devotion as well to kind of hammer in the fact that faith is not always clean. And I hope that's the lesson the youth took away. Because faith is not always what we plan out. It's not always the things that we hope for. Sometimes it's things that we're not expecting. And sometimes those things are gross. Sometimes those things are scary. Sometimes they are weird, but in the moment, that's what we see. But what God is preparing and equipping us for, that's the big thing. Now, we did have a lot of fun. In our Bible studies, in our mission projects, in our time at the beach, we did have a lot of fun. We did some extracurricular activities as well. And now I'm going to ask Abby and Macon and Maddie Ann to come and share 3 of those things that we did, a little extra credit, extracurricular fun.
Okay. On Monday night, we went to the Pelicans game. Our group got to play games while the teams are switching places. Claire played a game with a tissue box and a pinball by trying to shake it out. Christina, Andrew, and Daniel played the frozen t-shirts. And also, Claire won pizza for being the loudest. And overall, we had a fun time.
On Tuesday night, we went to the Jurassic Park mini golf course, and it was really fun as we were all cheering each other on, and we laughed as people hit their balls into the pond, and as Tristan fell into the pond, and it was really fun.
On Thursday, we spent the day at the water park. It was very hot, so it was nice to cool off and enjoy all the rides.
We had also had opportunities to play pool games that involved a Vaseline-covered watermelon. We had an opportunity to do some other things, go shopping, and just hang out and have a good time. The thing about these trips is, again, you never know what's going to happen. You never know what bonds are going to be formed that's going to be developed even stronger, not just our relationship with God, with each other. So this time I'm going to ask Ethan to come forward and kind of share about his retreat experience overall.
It's not my most memorable, and it's not my favorite memory.
I was very sad, disappointed, because the ice cream looked good. So this was my last retreat as a youth, and couldn't really ask for a better one. Every trip that I'd been on, we've learned something different, and it stuck with me. From getting rid of your expectations on just about anything, and having a servant mindset. But the one thing I took away from this retreat was something David talked about on Friday night, and it's why we go on the retreats, and talked about building the relationship with the people that you're serving with is just as important as the people you are serving. And this is something I never really thought about. And most of these trips, I had the mindset of, I'm here to serve the least of these and to serve God. And I don't really need to worry about the people around me because they're all here to do the same thing. But it makes a lot of sense to build the relationship with the people you're serving with. I mean, if a quarterback doesn't have a good relationship with his wide receiver, they're not going to be very successful. Probably going to lose that game. And honestly, it's amazing how God works, because for 7 years, never really thought about building the relationships with the people around me, but leaving the group, I know that I have some of my best friends in this group, and I've gotten to meet so many amazing people, and I wouldn't want to spend a week at the beach or in Louisville or Birmingham or Steubenville with anyone else, so.
It's amazing the plans that God has when we don't already plan it. It was getting ready for a retreat like this is always stressful. Getting all the details in order, the plans in place, making sure we have the right vehicles and have enough space to pack everything. And the day before and the day of traveling is always a very stressful time for myself, and I'm sure it is for our adult leaders. But the funny thing is we arrived at the beach, and we arrived at the house that we were staying in. As I opened the door and walked into the house, I said to myself, I've been here before. And I'm not talking about just other retreats. I'd actually been at that house before. 8 years ago, we took a group from our youth group to the same house. Didn't realize it when we were booking it, when we were scheduling it, and we went to the same place. And the funny thing is, 8 years ago, we did the exact same study in the exact same house. But the amazing thing is, it's not the same group. The faces change. The relationships change. But the impact that takes place on these trips lasts a lifetime. I've been asked before, I've been asked by individuals in this congregation, I've been asked outside of the community and in minister circles, the big thing these days is let's go. Let's take our teenagers or take our church and go, and I think that's very important. Every other year we identify a location to travel to. Last year it was to Steubenville. Our ministry team will be meeting in the next couple weeks to talk about our location for next year. But I have, since I started youth ministry, have buffered those travel trips with a retreat mission experience. And I know a lot of youth ministers don't agree with that idea. Because we're not going to some random location or remote location to serve. But I have found and I have learned that the ability to minister doesn't have to take place 100 or 200 or 300 miles away. It can happen in this backyard. And if the relationships are strong within our youth group, the impact that we're going to make on the world, and that starts right here, is going to be much more meaningful. That's why every other year we go on a retreat mission experience, because the relationships that these groups form that Ethan just mentioned about is just as important as going 300 or 400 miles away in our trip. Again, we want to thank you for your support. We want to thank you for your continued prayers. And I emphasize that, continued prayers, because the memories that they take away from this trip will hopefully last a lifetime. And they're willing to serve will hopefully last a lifetime. I know this young man up here, his service and his ministry has not stopped. It's going to continue because it lasts a lifetime. Retreats are fun. Mission experiences are fun. But again, I return to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. We're going to close this morning with a song that the youth have grown to love. I will warn you, it requires lots of energy. I will remind you, it involves some clapping. It's okay to clap. You might actually tap your feet. Never know. You might even dance a little, and that's okay. Because we do it all to praise our Lord and Savior, which is why we went. And is why we're here this day. So I'm going to turn it over to Ethan to kind of let you know about the song.
So we're singing Build Your Kingdom Here by Ren Collective, and youth, get up here and sing. And congregation, stand up and sing. We're singing together. It's exciting.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. Yeah.
no vacation in my backyard today. Would you receive this blessing as we go? May the giver of all good gifts go with you and bless you forever.